Welcome to Lectionary at Lunch. My name is Paul Robbie, and I'll lead you through the Old Testament lesson appointed for the fifth Sunday after the Epiphany. This is that well-known passage from Isaiah 6, Isaiah's inaugural vision, where he saw God high and exalted, and heard the seraphim, and responded, "Woe is me." This is paired with the gospel lesson, Luke 5, where Jesus tells Simon and James and John to lower their nets and catch some fish. And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night, took nothing." So Simon just kind of objected, but then said, "But at your word, I'll let down the nets." And sure enough, the nets are full of fish. And then Peter then responds to Jesus, falls down at Jesus' knees and says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." So obviously, the lectionary people want us to connect Isaiah's response, "Woe is me," with Simon Peter's response, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." And this is the appropriate response of a sinner when in the presence of the Holy God. This is the appropriate response. This is why we begin our liturgy with confession and absolution. We first of all begin on the note that we're sinners and we're in the presence of the Holy One of Israel, the King. This means, of course, that church is not there for entertainment, but it's bringing people into the presence of God. That's what's going on there. And Isaiah 6 gives us an illustration of what that's like. And Simon Peter, as well, in the presence of Jesus, realizes, "Whoa! This isn't. I am before the Lord." And so he says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinner." All right, then let's start then with Isaiah 6. Verse 1, from Bishnath, both Hamelech, in the year Shana of the death of the king Uzziyahu, Uzziah. And his name means, Yahu is an abbreviation for Yahweh, Uzi means my strength, so his name means Yahweh is my strength. So in the year of the death of the king Uzziah, what's interesting about the book of Isaiah is Isaiah likes to note the death of the kings. So here in 6, Uzziah died. In chapter 14, King Ahaz died. In chapter 38, King Hezekiah was near death. And so Isaiah is trying to make a point here. The real king is Yahweh of hosts. So in the year of the death of the king Uzziah, Va'ereh, I saw Adonai. I saw the Lord. Adonai always refers to Yahweh. And so it's the Lord, capital L. I saw the Lord, Yoshev, sitting enthroned, Yashav, God's sitting enthroned, on a throne, Kisei. So the picture is Yahweh is king, and Isaiah is in the throne room of the king. He's in the throne room of the king. And in that throne, Ram, from the root room, is high, room to be high. Vanissa, and that's a nifal of Nasa, and has been lifted up. So the throne of God is very high. Typically, when in the Old Testament, prophets are allowed to see God, they describe the surroundings. They never describe God, but they describe what his throne was like. They describe what the pavement was like. So that throne is high and lifted up. This is fundamental to Isaiah's theology, that Yahweh alone is high and lifted up. Yahweh alone is exalted. And when man tries to exalt himself, which is the constant problem, that's Isaiah's fundamental diagnosis of original sin, is that it is pride, it is the effort of human creatures to raise themselves to the level of God. And when they do, God brings them down. God demotes the high and lofty. He makes the first last, because God alone will be exalted. That's fundamental to Isaiah's theology. Of course, the surprise of the gospel is that Yahweh then exalts the lowly. He will be it is lifted up. V'shulav, that refers to the hems of the garments. So his robe hems, Malayim, are filling Ha-Hekal, the temple. So Yahweh's robe and the hems of his robe is filling the temple. Again, Yahweh, the enthroned king. Verse 2, Seraphim, Seraphim, Omedim, standing, Mima'alo, above with respect to him, Shesh, Kanafayim, six pairs of wings, la echad, to each one, to each seraph. So how many wings? Apparently 12. Six pairs. And with two, and this is an imperfect referring to continuous action past time, past tense, he was covering his face. And with two, he was covering his feet. So kind of from head to toe, respect before the Almighty, in modesty before the Holy One of Israel, he's covering his face, covering his feet. And with two, and this is from Uf, he is flying. So these seraphim are apparently snake-like creatures, with wings, apparently with a human face and feet, and they fly. The singular of seraphim is seraph, the plural is seraphim. I once heard a radio preacher talk about how there were these seraphims. And this is the value of knowing Hebrew. Seraph is singular, seraphim is plural. Verse 3, V'kara zeh, and this one cries out, El zeh, to this one. So it's an antiphonal response back and forth, seraph to seraph, V'amar, and says, Kadosh, 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 Yahweh Tzevaot. Holy, holy, holy is Yahweh of armies. This is referring to the heavenly armies, the angelic hosts. Yahweh is the commander-in-chief of this huge angelic army. And this Yahweh, then, is Kadosh. Separate, separate, separate. Completely unique in his own category. Not just another god on the smorgasbord of gods and goddesses of the ancient world. No, Yahweh is Kadosh, separate, unique, holy other, and certainly not only unique in many ways, but also separate from sin, from uncleanness as well. So Isaiah, of course, emphasizes that Yahweh is the Holy One of Israel. That's his favorite term for Yahweh, the Holy One of Israel. Melo kol haaretz kavodo, the filling of all the earth is his glory. So his glory is filling all the earth. Yahweh's glory is the visible manifestation, the visible splendor of his holiness. So glory and holy go together. Holiness would be kind of God's unique essence, and his glory then would be the visible manifestation. And that splendor fills the earth already in a hidden way, and then Isaiah announces eschatologically it will in a visible way. Well, I hear Isaiah is caught up in the throne room. He gets to see this scene. Verse 4, Vayanu'u amoth hasipim, and the foundations of the thresholds shook. This is from the root nuah, shook from the voice of the one calling. So each seraph had such a powerful voice that the seraph's voice shook the whole place, shook the thresholds. V'habayit, while the house, the temple, yimale, again this continuous action, imperfect, was continually being filled with smoke, ashan. So smoke is filling it. It's shaking from the volume of each seraph. And this was an awesome sight. See, this is what we enter when we enter church. We enter into the throne room of the heavenly King. And what should be our response? Isaiah gives the appropriate response. Va'omar, and I said, Oy Lee, that should be our response. Oy Lee, and we should fall on our face. Woe is me, woe unto me. For Nidmathi, this is a nifal of Dama. Dama can mean several different things. It can mean to one meaning is to be silent. So I think it could be translated, I am silenced. And very often that merges into I perish. We typically translate it kind of, I am undone. But I think the emphasis is, I'm silenced and I'm ruined and about to perish. For, why? Because, ish Tame Sephatayim Anoki. I am Ish, a man, Tame, unclean of two lips. Sephatayim, a dual form, two lips. So unclean of lips. Uvatok, and in the midst of Am Tame Sephatayim, in the midst of a people unclean of two lips, Anoki Yoshev, I am dwelling. So I am dwelling in the midst of a people unclean of lips. I am not fit to be a prophet. I have unclean lips. This people is not fit to have a prophetic role. They're unclean lips as well. Unclean, of course, is the opposite of holy. Unclean and holy can never come next to each other. They must always be kept far apart. And so that's why Isaiah was undone. Something unclean is in the presence of the holy. So, the holiness of God removes sin, wipes away sinners. It's not this static thing. It actually goes after and removes from its presence sin. So Isaiah is in trouble. His life is in trouble, right? No one can see God and live. Isaiah is toast. For HaMelech, the king, Yahweh Tzavaot, Yahweh of heavenly armies, Ra'u Enai, my eyes have seen. For my eyes have seen Yahweh, the king. And he's in the royal throne room. On occasion, God lets himself be seen in Old Testament times. When God does that, God appears in human form. And we call these theophanies. He manifests himself in human form and allows himself to be seen in a limited sort of way. Not in all of his full, raw, naked, overpowering majesty. Well, verse 6, now comes the surprise. You would think Isaiah would die. But the surprise is, he doesn't. And Echad, one men from the seraphim, one from the seraphs, oof, flew toward me. And in his hand was a ritzpah, a live coal, with two tongs, melkakayim, lakak, he took Me'al from upon HaMizbeach, the altar. So that coal was so hot that even this heavenly creature could not handle it. He needed tongs. He needed tongs to carry this hot coal. So he takes a coal and he flew to Isaiah. Verse 7, and this is from the root Nagah, Ifil, and the Nun gets assimilated. And he caused to touch, or he slapped against my mouth, and he said, so he put it hard against my mouth and said, Hine, behold, Zenaga, this coal has touched upon your lips. Isaiah had unclean lips. The lips are what need to be cleaned. Takes this purifying coal, puts it on his lips, right? And this was not just an ordinary coal. This was a sacramental coal. A visible element with the promise of forgiveness attached to it. And so something happened when this coal touched his lips. What happened? The seraph tells us. And Avonecha, your iniquity is turned away. Your iniquity is taken away. And katafka, your sin, tekupar, that's a pu'al from kafar, is atoned for. So, with this coal, he removes his iniquity, his perverseness, and he atones for, purifies, purges his sin. So now Isaiah has pure lips. So this is the surprising feature of God's holiness. God's holiness not only threatens sinners, but God's holiness purifies sinners. God's holiness makes holy. It makes sinners holy. So God's holiness is both law and gospel. That's the surprise. God's holiness is law. We're used to that. But it's also gospel. God's holiness holies Isaiah. Isaiah gets holied, gets purified. And Isaiah then responds, now with clean lips, is there something I can do? Verse 8, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, direct object marker, me, whom, Eshlak, shall I send? Whom shall I send? God is asking a question. God is in his royal throne room, surrounded by the angels. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Do I have any volunteers? Right? That's interesting. God doesn't coerce. He asks for volunteers. He doesn't want to coerce. And Isaiah is very eager. And I said, Hineni. That's Hine plus me. Look, me. I translated, yo, me. Notice me over here. And then he says, Shalacheni, send me. Yahweh, of course, is the one who has to send. You can't send yourself. You can't appoint yourself. You can't call yourself. You have to be called, have to be sent. But yes, God, send me. And verse 9, God sends him. Vayomer, and he said, Lake, go and say to this people. Right there you can see it's already ominous because God calls Israel this people. Usually it's my people. Here it's this people. Right? You say to your spouse, your child is doing something. Right? There's a distancing going on here. And we don't have time to finish it, but say to this people, keep on hearing but don't understand. Keep on seeing but don't know. Their eyes are open, but they don't get it. And the call to Isaiah is, harden their hearts so that they'll be destroyed. God is going to do his alien work first, and then he'll do his proper work. Notice at the end of verse 13, after God does his alien work, what's left? The holy seed. What's left is a stump, but that stump is a holy seed. And from that seed can come a holy people, a holy Zion, a new and greater people, a better future. So God has to do his alien work in order to produce, in order to bring about his proper work. And notice what happened to Isaiah. Isaiah got holied. Is now going to happen to Israel. There's going to be a holy seed. So the holy God makes a holy seed. And that means there's hope for Zion. There will be a holy Israel in the future after God is done. Okay, that's our text. Woe is me, and he got forgiven. Thank you very much. We now move to my colleague Victor Raj and the New Testament.